Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. This is Great Awakenings on GlobalFreedomTV.com. We are once again joined with the great Mike Harris, and we will be jumping into a lot of analysis of what has just happened with the Iranian missile strike, drone waves flying overhead with the ride of the Valkyrie thundering as they cross into Israel, and are heralded and puffed up with the rejoicing pleas and prayers from the people below who were watching, and struck admiration towards Iran for their firing this pageant, this pageantry, this parade into Israel. And it's still having psychological ripple effects that we haven't even really touched upon. No one has spoken about this till now. And the great Mike Harris will be one of the contenders of this. So this is an exciting time to kind of analyze how the pivot point is now going to happen. So we're going to jump into that. But first, let's do a video of a lieutenant colonel.
Let me say hi to you before you hit the video button.
Is
how
that,
you doing?
Is that the protocol? Is that the sequence?
Come on, be polite.
I got out of my innovative drill, and then my standard drill. I didn't do the change step when I should have done change step.
Well, anyway, we'll watch the video, but folks, it was a game changer in the Middle East. The balance of power has shifted. And so we'll discuss that in a couple of minutes. Scott's been chuckling about this video that he wants us to watch because he says there's a lieutenant colonel meltdown, which is always kind of good to see for the rank and file.
Well, you know, this was rather traumatic for me to kind of go through this, and I'm surrounded by other military guys, a couple officers, and then this lieutenant colonel and a former enlisted but very smart Navy weather guy, Ron, who's very concerned.
Okay, all right. So this is that one. Yeah, yes, I have seen that one.
Yeah.
Yes,
and, he's
this is your Karen.
Yeah, and Ron knows all of Europa and the real story of World War II and all of that, which is pretty deep. And Ken O'Keefe has talked a lot about that too. And I've looked into it and studied a little bit. I haven't watched the Europa documentary yet. I should. But there's an interesting depth there. But, you know, the reason I wanted to play this, Mike, I haven't played it on the Great Awakening show, but there, you and I have been talking about operational security. You and I have been talking about people mobilizing into tribes and teams and crews and squads and, you know, organizations or battalions or just groups. But it has to have a military character. It has to have operational security. It has to have leadership and natural, you know, force, as the Second Amendment gives you the power to exercise your power, your right to keep and bear arms. So this little video is kind of an indicator. When you have people come into your teams or your crews that are agitating, disruptive, arrogant, caustic, corrosive, dysfunctional, you know, sour, disfavorable, you know, a snarl or a twitch, or just a smell, a bad smell, which is often demon possession, you're one step closer to being more efficient, so that you can actually.
Well, let me interject something here, real quick, because
you're
on to something. This is really key for anyone who's in management or leadership, whether it's military, civilian, whatever else. Anytime you're in an organization and you have a person that I'll call a saboteur, and they come in and you outline what the program is, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and they resist. It takes two other people on that team to offset the negative pull that person is having. So if you've got a team of seven people, you have one saboteur, it takes two other people. So you really only have four functional people working instead of all seven pulling in the same direction. So that it really is expensive for organizations to have naysayers and, like I said, the word saboteurs, well, among your ranks, and they need to be expelled promptly. I mean, you can't put up with them, and I mean, you just have to get them off and get someone in there who's going to be on the program and all pulling you know, in the same the task in the same direction.
That's exactly why this is important, and it's been, you know, hit out of the ballpark, and that's what people need to understand. Let me play it, and
Hit it, Maestro.
we'll see Mike's predictions embodied by a cartoonish meltdown you couldn't invent.
Context in the framework of what else is going on around the world. There's a lot of other stuff that's more important than an eclipse that's happening. There's Netanyahu and his genocide of the Palestinian people and his thumbing his middle finger at the child molesting retard Joe Biden and the killing of aid workers, besides the 35,000 killing of Palestinians, children and women in this demonic rage.
Watch the lady
That
directly above
I
me.
can't imagine how anybody can call themselves a human being and be on the side of Israel killing these people. I mean, nobody remembers October 7th. Nobody even remembers the Holocaust of World War II. And Ron and you and I already know the Europa dimensions of that. I won't go into that whole discussion, but for the average simpleton, World War II, Holocaust, nobody cares about that anymore. Oh, Auschwitz and all that, who gives a shit? Look at what you're doing to the Palestinians.
Watch that lady.
Rabbi Silverstein or Shmuley or any of these other people. So the Israeli operation is about to blow up, especially with their destruction of the Iranian consulate in Syria. That's a smart move. Do you think Americans are going to throw on the doughboy military outfit and run for the sound of the light brigade and serve in a draft against Iran, Syria, Iraq, Turkey, and every other Muslim nation for Israel over this? I don't think so. But what's happening in Ukraine? Ukraine, Zelensky's trying to blow up a nuclear power plant again. I know this because I was just on RT yesterday and we're talking about it. So you have the potential of NATO and Mossad and CIA and MI6 and everybody else trying to blow up a nuclear power plant in Iran in Syria in Ukraine. You have Russia closing in on the murderers, the half-wit retard jihadists that don't even know what jihad's all about, who killed a bunch of women and children and old people going to a boys band concert in the Crocus Theater. Russia's about to tie that around Kirby's neck and hang him. Incidentally, when I was in Russia, the State Department memo that listed the dangers of attacks, I read from the State Department bulletin board outside the U.S. Embassy. I've got video to prove it. So that exact memo, that exact language was sent to the Russians about a few weeks ago. It was out in the open under the snow in November of 2023. I was there. So the Ukrainian situation, the Israeli situation, the Iranian situation, never mind the southern border invasion, where every third world banana republic knuckle dragging rapist, drug addict, and idiot is looking to rape and pillage America like a bunch of blacks at a Target store. That's coming. So, with all of that as background theater music, this constellation thing of a comet. What is that? Is that gonna set motion things, trigger things, or is that a distraction? So we're looking over here why
She looks like she ate something
much more
sour.
serious problems are buried as time bombs waiting to go off over in Ukraine and Israel and Iran and Russia. I think that's really what we need to focus on. Are attacking those problems, extinguishing those problems with the fire hoses of truth. And Steve Murray will agree with me. Truth is the strongest weapon in psychological warfare. Nothing can compare, and nothing can defend against truth. So that's what we need
Ron,
to
here it comes.
Yes.
I have to say something here. I'm just new to all of these people, but if we can't make our point without disparaging people, I don't want to be a part of this forum.
What's disparaging, Colonel?
You just talked about black people in Walmart as if you're trying to stereotype people. I don't do that.
I'm drawing attention to a phenomenon that occurred.
To do that.
I'm drawing attention to a phenomenon that occurred in which you had hordes of blacks going into a Target store and rummaging and emptying it. I'm not attacking black people. I'm simply addressing a phenomenon. Now, if you're missing that, I'm sorry. I'll try and speak slower and explain it. But I'm not attacking black people.
You just called everybody to know history names as well at the beginning of your dialogue here. Americans have been lied to for decades.
Yeah.
They're not ignorant on their own.
Not all of them.
Not most of them. But again, we can make our point without disparaging our fellow Americans.
Well, I don't think there's disparaging when you're identifying things in a kind of a rustic way. I don't pull my punches, and nor am I interested in political correctness or feminine sensitivity. So, you know, I'll speak as I want to speak, and you speak as you want to speak, and Rob will speak as he wants to speak, and Stephen will speak as he wants to speak. You go ahead and take the floor.
I don't have feminine sensitivities. I have sensitivities.
I'm not talking about you.
You are here for the truth. We are here for the truth. It has nothing to do with my sex, and how dare you even imply that it does?
I'm not talking about you.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there.
Anyway, I don't want to play anymore, but I thought it was rather important that you see that. I'll let you draw the conclusions, and the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Well, I watched it a couple of days ago and got a good laugh. But that's the problem, is that we have these people like this. And she, you know, most of the colonels I know are hard as fucking nails. And she obviously isn't. She has a thin skin. And she's more worried about somebody else's feelings than she is about the facts of the matter. And, you know, is it true that blacks, storm Walmarts and Target stores? Yeah, they do. They have. We have it on video. We've all seen it. You know, I mean, it's not Asians doing it. You know, it's blacks. And so, you know, to forgive the expression, but to call a spade is what you have to do sometimes. And certain people just don't like the direct language, and too bad. You know, I mean, man up. You know, if you're gonna put on that uniform and wear eagles like a full bird colonel, you better have a thicker skin than that. And that's all I can say. So I don't know what her political persuasion is. I don't care. We'll never see her again. It's too soon. So.
Well, they don't seem to have a sense of humor, and that's the thing that we notice most from the old days of people in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. There was a sense of humor. I saw a meme someone sent out on Facebook, and it showed Jim Carrey and the guy who was with Tom Cruise in the film. He was the assassin. It'll come back to me. But... Jim Carrey, when he dressed up as this girl in a bikini and pretended he was this real ugly girl, and it was just a very sexual play, and that was what, 1991, 92, 93. But they don't have that same sense of humor in society, and therefore you have military people that have no sense of humor. And I'll tell you, Mike, and I want to hand it to you to talk about this. It is very critically important to develop and have a healthy sense of humor, because there is, and you have to have a spirit of love in the first place, in truth, to manifest. You have to have love to have a sense of humor, humility, and about yourself and others. And a lot of the humor, and the people or comedians who kind of observe this, are very smart people. A lot of them have had abusive experiences. Perhaps that enhanced it. But there's a lot of smart people. Well, but if you don't have that, you're not an effective diplomat. And I look at America and look at, we are a land where we have people who are not diplomats. They don't have senses of humor. They don't have any moral purity. And our government has become a rusted hulk that's fallen from the sky and is now solidly on the dry sands desert of some oblivion, and there's oasis ahead if you make the right moral choice. But we're at a breaking point and a separation point where people and tribes and communities and towns and portions of states, regions, counties, or half of states are going to recoagulate and reorganize around new economic, social, rules as things come about. Well, anyway, I'll hand it back.
Scott, to you. Let's go back to the humor bit, because you just about can't tell a joke today anywhere, because all it takes is one snowflake saying, "Well, it made me uncomfortable." And you're in front of the HR if you're employed or something. You go explain yourself. You're going to get scolded, get a write-up of some sort about it. And, it's just total bullshit. I don't really care. Let them write me up. I got nothing. I'm just some schlub out here, and I could care less what other people think. If the joke is funny, it's funny. Tell it. I use discretion. I try not to tell too obnoxious jokes in front of women and children. But among my my guy friends, of course I will. But I'm just so tired of everyone buying into political correctness. And what you saw in that colonel is she has drank the political correct Kool-Aid. So she's fully DEI. She's fully ESG. She's all of these little three-letter acronyms that tell her that she is virtuous because she doesn't do these things. And it has nothing to do with her virtue or not. She has lost her principles, sacrificing to the virtue signaling that she just did on that little display. So enough of that. We don't need virtue signaling. We need results. We need things that are going to get stuff done, that are going to change the world for the positive, is what we need to do. And like Admiral Farragut said at the Battle of New Orleans, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
Yeah. I like John Paul Jones's too. Not yet begun to fight. Well, that's what kind of we're looking at now with Iran and Israel. Have we not yet begun to fight, or is all of this going to be smoldering and covered with dirt and a slow, gradual return to diplomacy and an Israeli, reconstitution as sort of a castle, with its walls?
Well, let's do a little analysis here on this, Scott, because what people need to realize is Iran fired about 350 objects at Israel, about 350. You have drones, which are the lowest cost, probably $100,000, $150,000 a piece. You've got some cruise missiles, which are probably $500,000 to $1 million each. Then you have some hypersonics. I'm not even going to begin to put a price on them. But what happened is Iran showed Israel and the world that the Iron Dome and David Sling and all these other air defense systems can be defeated. They can be overwhelmed and defeated. And so for the first time in a long time, the deterrent advantage goes to Iran and not to Israel.
Yeah.
Because Israel now realizes that they can be hurt. If they get in a fight, they're not just going to get a bloody nose. They're going to get busted up. I mean, there's one thing to get a bloody nose. I've had them, I've been punched a lot of times. I get bloody noses sometimes. But it's another thing to take a real thumping. And Israel, for the first time, realizes that they can be destroyed. And that is healthy for the Middle East. And it's healthy for the security of the Middle East. Because this bully, this little short man, tiny country bully of Israel, now realizes, hey, this big guy over here is going to kick my ass if I give him any more shit. And so I think that this may have a sobering effect on Israeli foreign policy with their immediate neighbors. Because for the first time, they're in a position to get their ass handed to them. First time since they've existed. They've always survived by, they're not the biggest dog in the fight, but they've been the meanest dog.
Yeah.
And they just figured out that, hey, these other guys, they're bigger, they're stronger, and they might be as mean or meaner than we are. And so that is weighing heavily on Netanyahu's cabinet, and it's weighing heavily on the people of Israel tonight, because for the first time they realize all these malicious things we have done to the Palestinians, to the Lebanese, to the Jordanians, to the Syrians, to the Iranians. All of these things may come home to roost. If they live the way the Israelis live, with this eye for an eye mentality, Israel's in deep trouble. And because they're not going to give it up, they're not going to put it down, they're going to have an advantage, they're going to push forward. But I want to compliment the Iranians on how measured and how calculated their strike was.
Yes.
They didn't strike any civilian targets, one death, and that was collateral damage, shrapnel from an explosion. And so they didn't even try. I mean, they didn't even try to match what the Iranians lost in the consulate in Damascus. They didn't even try. They just wanted to show them, hey, you ain't pushing me around no more. I've had enough.
Yeah.
And so, you know, good for Iran.
There's good spiritual karma or positive, you know, energy, whatever you want to call it, blessing versus curse. You spilled no blood. You really spilled no blood, and who knows whatever that other situation was, but their movement, their mission, their performance, whatever their intentions, and I think their intentions matched the results, but the results were remarkably effective, military only. And you also saw the fluttering out of the bush, these NATO and Western voices that revealed who they really are. Of course, we knew Cameron from his days of the Benghazi Libya slaughter. But even Trump, to a certain degree, you can tell me if you had any revelations, but he seemed to be walking in this direction of gratuitous, natural, immediate applause and support to Israel, rather than a support to the United States and being critically independent in order to best represent and look at the scale of what's in the American people's best interest and their children and their grandchildren's best interest.
We're going to find out if the Israelis are sane or if they're crazy,
yes.
if they're insane, if they're madmen, if they strike back at Iran in a harsh and punitive way. We know they're crazy. If they do some token response just to calm their political base in Israel, that's something else. If no one gets killed in Iran from their counter, something like that, or very minimal losses, that shows they're sane. If they go all in, it shows that they're crazy, that they're insane. And so the world is going to get to see this here for the first time. And my best guess is that there's two prevailing schools within Israel. One of them is sane, the other one is stark raving mad. Mm-hmm. And you know how that balances out between them, who's going to dominate the Israeli response, is going to tell us a lot about whether Israel's going to be here in 6 months or not.
Well, what I found most technically interesting was how they layered their barrage. They had the drones fly first, then they had their land missiles, then they had their hypersonics at the top. So you had this thick layer, like of a cloud. So the Israeli defenses, and you probably know more of the technical aspects than anyone, Mike, but the Israeli defenses are hitting the bottom layer and some of the middle, but they're not able to go to the top or even understand it or recognize it. When they overwhelm their capabilities of striking, I think a lot of the stuff just naturally went over and hit. So it was just interesting.
Another thing to look at, Scott, is we look at these drones, and that's the bottom layer. And they're relatively inexpensive. As I said, $150,000 to $150,000 each. They're relatively low cost. Yeah. Whereas these air defense missiles are $500,000, $1 million, $2 million each. The estimate I heard, the first estimate I heard, that Israel expended $1.3 billion worth of munitions that night. And then I heard, with the help of other allies, that a total of over $3 billion of munitions was expended that night. So if you look at just the math, you know, who's going to win the war of attrition? The Iranians are, because the cost benefit is greater. You know, low-cost drones, man, send them up, send 10,000 of them, and let them waste, you know, million-dollar missiles on a $100,000 drone, do that all day long, and bleed your enemy and deplete their store of munitions to arm their air defense systems and overwhelm it. And that's what the Iranians did. And it's masterful, and it shows the failure of Western thinking, of really United States thing, because Iron Dome and all of that is all Patriot-based. It's all based on Aegis destroyers, all these other things. All of these pieces of that puzzle come from the USA, all the military aid we've given Israel. And you couple that with the unmitigated failure of U.S. weapon systems in Ukraine, and it's pretty obvious that the business model that the U.S. defense industry has been in for the last 20, 30, 50 years, whatever it's been, is a flawed model. I mean, technical superiority doesn't always produce the result you want.
Yeah.
And it's expensive, and it how does an expensive high-end system defeat a low-cost combat effective system?
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to, because the powers that be, the Black Rocks, the Vanguards, the people who sit on the, who appoint the boards and appoint the management of Northrop Grumman, Lockheed, Raytheon, Boeing, all that, they've got a mindset that they want to build these expensive high-end systems. And because that's where the money is, that's where the profit is, they put barriers to entry up, keep anybody else from coming in. But the Russians and the Iranians, who've been under sanctions, have had to come up with cost-effective, combat-effective systems. And that's what they've done. And they have really flummoxed the whole Western model of how do you defend yourself.
Yeah.
And so now it's back, they've destroyed the profit model. I tell you what, the next big arms show, people, if you don't know this, they have these big expositions where they bring in everything from around the world, and they show off this tank and this missile and this aircraft, and they demonstrate them and all of this. The U.S. isn't going to be able to give their crap away, because it's been so thoroughly humiliating, first in Ukraine and now again in Israel. Mm-hmm. And so it's time for some new thinking in our military-industrial complex, because the business model they've been using is an unmitigated failure. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't win in Iraq. We didn't win in Afghanistan. We can't even beat tribesmen herding goats up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. Much less go to a peer or a near-peer adversary and win. The U.S. can't do it. We have been led down the garden path with our, $986 billion a year defense budget, that they can't account for a lot of it. And we've been misled. We've been fleeced by these Khazarian types who run these businesses.
Yeah, look at all the weapons that we left in Afghanistan.
$85 billion of weapons we left behind. Anyway, that's really the bigger message. Iran did a brilliant job, and Russia and Iran have been fielding, high-performing, combat-effective, cost-effective weapon systems, and the U.S. and Israel have failed in that. So, I mean, if Iran spent, $1 billion last night, which I don't think they did. I think they spent, far less than that, but for $3 billion for the for Israel's defense, that's a no-brainer.
It's it's also an unsustainable model, and Israel knows that, and the United States knows that. That's why economically they're breaking off for it. But I have a question for you: what will the United States do, and what will result to the United States as a result of this doing? What will they do, and what will befall the United States as a result?
Well, it's going to depend on what Israel does next. Biden has come out and said that if you attack Iran, we don't want any part of it. And, I hate to say this, but I agree with Biden on this.
I do too.
We should not. I mean, we should sever.
It's not him. There's another voice, and therefore another target for diplomatic communication and absorption and ensnarement that is handling the Biden White House. He's walking around in diapers in an ice cream cone. Put him aside completely. Who is the real signers of stuff that's happening, and the guys doing the orders and the communications and just having him sign or having someone sign for him, that is pushing this area that we agree upon, which is we're not going to commit the United States to any attack upon Iran.
Well, you know, Scott, if you're an admiral and if you've got multiple carrier groups within striking distance of Iran right now,
Do
don't you
we?
want?
Are they within striking distance? I don't think so. I think they're too far away.
I think these Iranian missiles have more range than has been disclosed. That's just
Well,
my
the
best
missiles will
guess.
hit the ships. You mean, okay, so if they can fire drones and missiles to hit Israel, they can send the same to hit ships in the
Yes.
Persian Gulf and beyond, you know, and so
Well,
can
and then
the
well, there,
Houthis at the same time.
there's a whole other class of missile out there. There's a ship-to-ship class of missile. Iran is famous for having small, very fast boats that go out and are missile capable. They're missile launch capable. I mean, you send two dozen of these small boats with missile launch platforms on them out towards the towards the carrier group. You can probably sink most of it. They have the ability. I mean, many of these missiles will skim across the surface of the water at 15, 20 feet above the surface. And when they're hypersonic, the Aegis destroyer does not have the capability to defend a carrier against a hypersonic missile coming in at Mach 12, Mach 14, Mach 15. They just can't target it. They can't identify it. They can't target it. They can't lock on. And so our carrier groups are very vulnerable right now. If I was an admiral or in the Navy right now, I'd be saying, look, guys, we really got to rethink our position here unless we want to lose this whole carrier group here or several of them as the case may be. And so that's really the conversations that are going on behind closed door in very secure skiffs right now about what does Iran really have. Iran also tipped their hand a bit and they gave a view as to what their capabilities truly are. And I'll share something with you. Colonel Jim Hankey and I were in Bari, Italy in 2015 and met with a group of Iranian physicists to get an idea of what their technical capabilities were at that time. That's 9 years ago. I guarantee you they've improved greatly since then. But having ship-to-ship missiles that are hypersonic, that are surface skimming, that's something that Iran has had for a while. And so this is not a new technology for them. It's the first time that the West has probably seen it, or if they've even seen it yet. But last night was a preview as to what Iran can really do. So going back to the psychological effects this is having, the Israeli war machine is stressing very, very much right now. And if they stress too much, they may do something. They may make another mistake. And that is that they may decide to go nuclear prematurely and really destroy themselves in the process.
Well, that is the big question, because if they did, I thought they've used nukes already, to be honest with you, in Lebanon or Beirut or where that was, where they blew up the building that pretended to be a grain storage facility with a old boat sitting outside that had been purchased, you know, by sketchy sources, Russian. There was a Russian mention and a Turkish mention or something, but was that a
You're
nuclear
just talking
strike?
about the one in Lebanon
Yes.
that many
Yeah. That Gordon
people thought
Duff
was
did.
a nuclear explosion, a tactical nuke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had long conversations with Gordon about that.
So
And
it's
so
he
Gordon is
believes that
convinced that
it
it was a
is.
nuke because of the flash.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And Gordon is he's a little irascible at times, but he's very, very rarely wrong. He's right about a lot of things. And when Gordon says it, I pause and I listen to him very carefully.
So, you know, it
So.
comes down, you know, what is going to happen? And let's just say we have another 25 years before Christ comes and the world ends and eternity begins. So let's just say another 25 years. What is going to happen in that time? You know, we've got starting today, let's say this is like 1900, and what's going to happen, you know, in the next 25 years? We've got a Gaza genocide where these Palestinians have been traumatized beyond belief. Children with missing arms and legs who are going to grow up over the next 10, 15 years with missing arms and legs, 20 years, you know, to 10-year-olds? What are they going to be like in their 20s and 30s? What is society going to be like? They've done this massive genocide. They've destroyed the entire infrastructure of this Palestinian territory. The Turks are pissed. The Jordanians are pissed. The Syrians are pissed. Hezbollah is pissed. Iran's pissed. Allegedly, Saudi Arabia is pissed. I think every Muslim nation, people, culture, government is on the side of the Palestinians, at least in name. But you know, I don't know. But how are they all going to react slowly? And how is Israel going to react? I think Israel is going to be strangled like a chicken till its eyes bug out. And they're going to try and go to Ukraine, but they need to be stopped and redirected to probably islands in the Greek-Turkish control. Mike?
Well, Scott, you know, for a long time, I've been saying that the real move in Ukraine was to depopulate it and get rid of the Slavic people, either kill them or push them out of the area so that the Khazars could move back into their old homeland. I've said that consistently since 2014. I mean, when it first started, I knew that was their move. Russia is not going to allow that to happen, and here's why. If the Khazars are successful in relocating back to their old homeland, Russia finds itself in the same predicament it was in 800 AD,
yes,
where they had to go in there and destroy these people and break up their empire.
Yes.
I wish they would have done a better job of destroying them more completely. But yep. Russia is not going to allow that to happen. They're not going to allow a festering boil like Israel develop on their southern border. They're not going to allow it because they've been there. They've done that. I mean, if you watch that Tucker Carlson interview with Putin, mm-hmm. one thing Putin was really good, he gave Tucker Carlson a history lesson. A very profound history lesson.
He gave him multiple lessons.
And, well, that was one aspect of it. But he really told him, I mean, Putin is aware of the danger of allowing that to happen. So Putin is not going to allow them to settle there, to come back in and you know, pick up things like, well, we've been gone a while, but we're back now. No,
no.
Russia is not going to allow that.
Russia will never allow that.
And so...
Good point.
So what do we do with these people, the survivors who are going to if they survive the war? And talk about feelings, how the Muslim world feels about this. I can't speak for them because I'm not a Muslim. But in my viewpoint, I am so appalled and disgusted by how Israel behaves, not just over this Palestinian genocide of Gaza, but how they've behaved for the past 77 years since
yes.
Israel formed in 1947, Israel was recognized, which is one of the biggest foreign policy mistakes the United States ever committed under Harry Truman. And so I am repulsed by this, and it makes me hate all things Jewish because I see them for the monsters that they are. Mm-hmm. They really are. They have no humanity in them, not a bit. I even wonder if they're the same race.
That's the point Dustin Nemos has made many, many a time, and that is that you've got Nephilim bloodlines, you've got satanic or angelic fallen angel mating with women and creating mighty men of old, and all sorts of you know, bloodline Nephilim and all sorts of other stuff. That Nemo says some very interesting stuff about it, but essentially he said they shrunk in the giant realm, but they still have that evil line, that bloodline of demon connection kind of thing. And they're not the original Semitic people, and the Northern Celts and Germans and Scandinavians, there's a whole theory gnosis about the missing tribes of Israel being up there. These even reports, Stephen Pidgeon did a whole study of Joseph of Arimathea going to Great Britain and having a tin company, and a lot of the ancient gospel being rooted in the real, you know, Arthurian, Celtic, Britannic history of kings. And there's a whole folklore that has not even really been explored and discovered that is the real shade of truth that this current propaganda, you know, orange dead filter in the sky that has discolored everything in our world, that's kind of breaking down. There's a great breakdown that's happening in society, but there's a great renewal or great regeneration. And that's what you just said, Mike, is a profound indicator of that too, because as a Christian myself, I share exactly precisely what you've described in our joint denunciation of Israel's war crimes, crimes against humanity, murder, and demonic savagery and brutality against these women and children and others in Palestine. And the Iranians are the ones who have launched a message when no one else has. Iran stood up and launched a message, and it was a military message. It was a potentially lethal and devastating message, but it was not meant to be that way this first time. But it of course, will be if there is a blood, if there is a bloodletting and a fight. So I think you're right.
Let's go back and revisit something you said a moment ago, and this is an interesting piece, is that is our history, the true history of humanity has been obscured from us. It's been rewritten, and it's been rewritten by whom? And it goes back to these same Jewish Khazarian types. Who rewrote the Bible to come up with this Scofield Bible that has convinced so many evangelicals that this Israel is the true Israel of ancient times? It's not. And these are, like you said, these are not Semitic people. These are they're Khazarian. We don't really know what their bloodline is, where it's from, but it is a unique haplotype. And they have
Charlie
misled
Kirk
us.
and even Trump are following that line of thought.
Well, it's sad that
Not
Trump
Pence.
is. I mean, Trump needs to wise up and figure out that he's not dealing with the descendants of the Hebrews of the Bible. This is it's not the same people. These are the imposters. These are the imposers, the usurpers, the identity thieves.
Well, you know,
And
the other thing about Trump, Mike, is I think he needs to realize the American people are not the same people they were in 2020. He went off in a whole other direction. He jumped on board the plane and waved goodbye and disappeared in Florida and has had some legal persecution, but he's never suffered the imprisonment the people in the Patriot community that went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th have. Many of them were brutalized and some died, and many have been thrown in jail, and some have terribly long imprison sentences.
Well, Scott, we're seeing the American gulag here. This is no different than what the Bolsheviks did to the Slavic people in Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution. They were off to the gulag. Read Solzhenitsyn. He talks about it distinctly. That's the same thing. It's the same tactics to do any dissent gets crushed, that they will not tolerate it. And how long are we going to tolerate these people running our government, usurping our government, and dominating it, because they are 2% of the population, but yet they're overrepresented in every aspect of business, every aspect of government, every aspect of education. They're way overrepresented because they're an insignificant minority that should be dealt with as such. And
Mike,
how long are we going to sit back and take this from them?
isn't that directly related to the legal instrument you described before, the oath of office 53331 and 53332, that says you have to have an oath of office signed, and then you have to file an affidavit with that oath of office to
Which must be
the
notarized and on public
notarized?
file. But the Biden administration cannot produce those oaths of
So
office.
therefore, any persecutions done by any of these people is null and void because they don't have oaths of office. So agents included and anyone over them commanding these agents have done so without oaths of office. So their doing is nullified. It had no power of government because they didn't have that oath. And the reason to have an oath is you could even make this mystical argument. The reason for having an oath is because it is a connector to the soul that inclines the soul and the moral impulses to be directed towards virtue and growth and selflessness for the community. And if you don't have that oath, you have selfish in personal enrichment, what's in it for me, and bribery and corruption, and all of that leads to it if you don't have the oath. That's one argument that you
Well, Scott, the
could
other
make.
side of that is the realistic side. And the realistic side is the people who on January 8th got convicted and are serving prison sentences up to 20 years sometimes, they're still in jail. And nobody's breaking them out yet. We have not stormed the Bastille to release these prisoners yet. And that is a key linchpin that needs to happen. We need to get these people out because they are being imprisoned falsely. They're being mistreated. And this is straight communist Bolshevik bullshit
This is.
that they have brought here to this country and they're imposing upon us. If we don't get up and get up off our dead ass and do something about it, they're coming for us next. So
This
we've
is
got to intervene.
exactly, this is exactly what Jim Jordan and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the entire Republican Party, Rand Paul, the Libertarian, the Freedom Caucus, all of them, moderate Democrats, especially, should be up there in a massive congressional action to surround that prison and demand the release based on the absence of oaths of office from the people in the Bureau of Prisons, the Department of Justice, the U.S. Marshal Service, and you could even say the judges. The judge that held that case, no oath of office, notarized and signed. Case doesn't exist. It's tore up and burned as if it never existed because you never had the oath of office animating your judicial decisions, your judicial exercise, of your energy while you're in your black robe and in the
Well, Scott, they're getting away with it for now. And people's lives, every day they spend in there is a day that they're not out. They're not free. They're not breathing free air. And so, what is the next move? And like I
Well,
said,
here's what it
it's
here's
time to storm the Bastille. I'm sorry, but it is. It's time for the American people. If you thought January 6th was an insurrection, now you're really going to see it as an
Well,
insurrection because of.
let's explore that too, Mike, because I did say on RT, I did an interview and I said Israel has three options. One, let this settle. Two, counterattack and escalate, which they'll lose. And three, if they lose, they automatically go into third, which is setting off false flag Operation Gladio attacks in the United States, energy, nuclear, or just storming kindergartens. And blaming it on Iranians, trying to fool Americans into joining the draft or perhaps allowing the assassination of Biden or I believe Kamala Harris, and then they'll put Gavin Newsom into Kamala Harris's vice president position, and then they can kill Biden and blame that on a Russian, and then move Gavin Newsom in to declare elections are suspended. And then you have a suspended election with Gavin Newsom as president, and Donald Trump is what? Being hounded and chased like a fox and the legal hounds and who knows what else? Or are the Patriots going to come around Trump and say you're gonna walk this way and have this flag and we're gonna go with you, and you have a Jefferson Davis Abraham Lincoln situation?
Well, Scott, I think you are correct that we're going to see a rise in false flags in this country. I mean, you look at 9/11, that was the ultimate false flag so far. And we know that the Israelis did it. They were in on it. They had help from insiders like Dick Cheney and George W. Bush and a number of others. But this was an Israeli operation at its core. And we're going to see a lot more of this nonsense because they're losing control. And one thing psychopaths can't stand is when they lose control, and they will bar no expense to regain control. And so they don't care if they have to wipe out 100 kindergartens full of little white kids and little black kids, as long as they're Americans and they die, just for the coverage. So we as people cannot be stupid enough to believe anything that our Jew-controlled media tells us. If they say it's white, you know it's black. Believe just the opposite. Use discernment, but really, we cannot trust our news media, except for a few outlets that are on, the alternate media like this is, and even this. I mean, you and I were just a couple of regular guys here trying to figure out how this world works and what's going on here. We've got a little better insight than most, but we are not given access at this point in time to top secret briefings. We don't. We have
Well,
sources, and they're pretty good with it, but they're constrained on what they can tell us.
I think what happens in the Israeli situation in Gaza, I think they're gonna I don't think they're gonna counterstrike Iran. I think they're gonna slowly be there's a chance they're going to be dissipated and kind of slowly return to their spider's nest under the ground. And I think if that would be the best scenario, because then you could have the natural nourishment of the people of Gaza. You could simply have an international presence declare this is the Palestinian state, but I don't even know if that helps, because they're so full of hatred. But shifting away from Israel and the hatred, Odessa, Ukraine, Sochi, developing that whole area as the central hub of intelligence and operations, and developing it into the south of the Monte Carlo, and making it the BRICS international, Brazil, attractive spot with a very moral Russian character, and at the same time allowing Ukrainians to move back to the country who were actually take an oath. Oath to be a citizen of the Republic of Ukraine. It's the old Ukraine is dead and gone. This is the Republic of Ukraine. The old Ukraine, we don't even mention it. That's up above this geographic line of barbed wire. The Nazis and the Poles and the Romanians and anyone else that called themselves the Azov Battalion, they're up there. Nothing is in the new Republic of Ukraine. Mike, how does Odessa develop, and how would you say that needs to be branded and marketed to get investment and support?
Well, first of all, Odessa is a lovely city. I've been there numerous times. I really like it. It's right on the Black Sea. And it's an older city. It's very well done. It's very quaint, very cute. It's likable. The thing I didn't like about it was all the Soviet-era housing that they put people in. It was kind of like going to Pruitt-Igoe or to Cabrini-Green in Chicago. It's like cheap public housing. But Odessa could be easily developed. But what Russia and Putin need to do is, if they're going to divide, if they're going to bifurcate Ukraine and have an eastern and western, they have to cut the eastern part off with the Nazi elements, the Polish, Austro-Hungary, former lands there. Those have to be cut off from any access to the Black Sea, 100%. That should be a Russian lake. In a Turkish lake, an Iranian, the people who live on it, who actually have beachfront property. But you cannot give that over to these Nazi types. And these aren't even real Nazis. I mean, these are Jewish cutouts that went in there, were funded, say, get these tattoos, do this, and we'll fund you. But they were sit there particularly just to antagonize Russia and to kill the Russian population in eastern Ukraine. But they need to cut that off, and just allow them no sea access at all. And can it be developed? Yes, easily. I mean, what Russia did with Sochi down there and developed it for the Olympics that year, for the Winter Olympics, was absolutely fabulous. And Russia has the money, they've got the technology, they've got the willpower to make it
Yeah, they
into a really paradise. I mean, when I was in Crimea back in 2000, what, 5, 6, 7, going to see the Zaliv shipyard, was looking at it. That's where the Russians built all their nuclear powered. I can't say all. They had a facility there that was capable of building nuclear power ships for this for the Soviet Navy, and looked at it. Very capable shipyard. But Crimea is gorgeous. It's beautiful. You want to talk about a garden spot? That's it. It's beautiful countryside. They grow great wine. They do wonderful things. It could be a tourist destination to die for. And in fact,
It could be the
in the
rival
Eastern
to
Bloc, that's
Dubai.
what it was. Pardon?
It could be the rival to Dubai.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But more civilized and essentially more Western, more white, instead of being so Arabic. It would be I mean, I remember being in Crimea, and the girls from Finland would come down to spend the summer to get a suntan. I mean, they're very, very, very white and pale, but they mostly burn, not tan. But all of Russia, all of that Eastern Bloc, the Warsaw Pact countries would come to Crimea to spend their summers and to spend time on the Black Sea. It was gorgeous, and it could be developed magnificently. But it's just up to what Russia wants to do next. And I wish them all well. I mean, I'm just in awe of what they've been able to do under these sanctions, what Iran has been able to do under these sanctions. It shows you how ineffective the Western foreign policy has been. And what who's responsible for Western foreign policy? All these Jews who run the State Department. They have led us down a garden path. We have been a disastrous foreign policy. Iraq was a failure. Afghanistan was a failure. Everything that they touch turns to shit. And it's time to get a foreign policy that works to the benefit of the American people, not to the benefit of people who want to go overseas and seize other people's assets. It's time for us to rethink our American way and restore our original values of loving freedom, of having commercially viable relationships, not going over and murder and kill people to get their stuff. That's the Jewish model. That's not the American model. And it's time that we as Americans reject the Jewish model for everything. It's time we invent our entire society, reinvent our entire culture, and bring it into something that is in alignment with our values as American people, not these imposed Zionist Jewish values on us that all they want to do is rape, plunder, and steal and murder. That's their MO. That's what they do. That's what they did in the Bolshevik Revolution. That's what they did in the Armenian genocide. That's what they're doing in Gaza today. And that's what they'd like to do to the American people here is the same thing. But this business model that these Jews have put us on in our foreign policy is just irresponsible. And it's time to
Well,
restore it to something that's aligned with American values.
lastly, Mike, as we close, the great topic is the southern border along the United States of California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona.
Arizona, California.
Is that the next flashpoint, as McGregor said, in the next war? Is that going to be where you have really a revolutionary war, where you're combating squatters and invaders and third worlders? I think the American people would win that pretty much hands down, because you'd have every gun owner from every state going to the front lines, and you'd have a lot of money and a lot of youngsters too, and it would be a sniper range, and you'd have intel operatives to keep the towns clean, because if you had covert spies and stuff like that, you could turn it into a civil war really easy, and the American people would prevail. And I'll say this, my idea of bringing over Ukrainians would be the best idea we could ever do, because they know how to kill and fight. I'm not talking about the Nazi lunatics. I'm talking about the good ones, the good men. And I interrogated them, questioned them, not ruthlessly interrogated, but I talked to them. And there's if I had men that I talked to, and lots more of them, I'm sure. You could pepper them throughout the border under control, transfer their custody from Russia to the Department of Justice under Texas. They serve a period
No,
of
Scott.
probation for a
Let
year,
me interject
and
something.
then they could be green card holders, but they man the firing line, which is the entire border of Texas.
Let me interject here. Right now, the U.S. military has a recruiting problem. If we had a flashpoint on the border and American soldiers were actually going to defend the United States, your recruiting problem is going to be over pretty quick. You look at what Mexico has done. I'm not letting Mexico off the hook. Mexico is not our friend,
That's
okay?
right. That's
They
right.
we share a border with them. They are not our friend.
That's
They're
right.
still pissed because they lost the war when they signed the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo March 15th, 1845,
Yep.
and they want that land back. They want the developed California, the developed Arizona, the developed New Mexico and Texas back. But we're not going to give it to them. And in fact, we may redraw those lines and we may end up with some American beachfront down in Mexico.
And Baja,
And
yep.
that's how we have to think. We have to think about expanding our territory and pushing those people out and down and back. Because they're coming here to push us out of our homes. We're going to have to push them out of theirs. So Mexico is not our friend. And you look at the drug traffic. You look at how prosperous the cartels have been. You look at the amount of fentanyl deaths. What do we have? 110, 120,000 fentanyl deaths a year, every year now. This is chemical warfare against the population of the United States. And we need to mobilize and activate and stop this nonsense and put an end to it. And we can do it. Like Scott, I say almost every show, we have no problems we can't fix. We just have to have the political will to do it. And we have to stop those people who are getting in our way from fixing our problems. And we have to kick up our level of aggression greatly, toward these people to where we don't care if we go to jail. We don't care if we get shot and killed. We have to be able to defend our country from all threats, foreign and domestic. And your earlier comment that we have traitors among us couldn't be more obvious. I think every thinking American can see this now. I mean, you see how the dysfunction of the blue cities, I'll just leave it at that, the dysfunction of them. And so if these aren't enemies of the American people and the American way of life and of our country as a whole, I don't know what is. But it is time for America to fight. If we're going to fight a war, fight one that matters in defending that southern border where it starts. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just the border is part of it. But we've got them infiltrated in every city now. MS-13 has a presence in every city in this country that's over 30,000. Mm-hmm. And we have to root them out and destroy them. And I don't care what it takes. There's more of us than there are of them. Sure, they're tough. They're badasses. They think they can get away with stuff. We've got to show them they're wrong.
You know, the higher IQ tribes always win in fights, and the highest IQ are the white Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, Polish, Russian-blooded people, and they don't kill each other. They don't get drunk on tequila. They don't rape dogs. They don't, sell crack and wear their pants down around their buttocks and have gold teeth and, shoot guns sideways and burn down their own neighborhoods, or rape and pillage Target stores that seem to offend the feminine sensitivities of Colonel Karen.
Well, Scott, you're flirting with a whole nother show here on that issue, because we do have internal problems here. And the experiment of the 60s with integration has been an unmitigated failure. And so we need to rethink how we treat race relations. And we need to have an honest and open discussion with blacks about it, because blacks know their shortcomings.
The most offensive thing, Mike, is the forcing of this through advertising, Hallmark movies, commercials in general, and films that push this, and it comes right back to the BlackRock,
Scott, read the paper I just sent you. It's in your inbox. So it's there waiting for you. Did it before the show started. But I wrote a paper on this. I was asked to write it to present to the Russian Committee on Science and Technology relative to a space treaty where we want to get the treaty signed. China signed it. Russia signed it to prevent the weaponization of space. 120 other countries have signed it. The U.S. is refusing to sign it. Why? And so that's we need to put pressure on them. And this paper identifies why the U.S. isn't signing it and who the obstacles are. So it should be an interesting read for you. We can discuss it another time. But, this is these are things that matter, and these are things that we can correct and we can control. Now, we look at a company like BlackRock. Pension funds have given their money to BlackRock, to management for them to make money. But they're acting against the interest of their shareholders or of their investors, and they're acting against the interest of the American people. And so BlackRock needs to be disassembled and made to go away.
The point was organizations like BlackRock and pushing through media and media TV channels is this black and white mixed marriage, mixed sexual relationship, mixed children, artificial fake culture that goes against the natural instincts and nature and designs of different people and tribes and their hormones and their everything else that makes us. This is an artificially imposed cultural authoritarianism that really needs to be rejected like the plague. And it comes from these Jewish Zionist Ashkenazi Khazarians that you described so well in the Hollywood realms. We can't tackle that tonight. We've got a little bit more stuff coming up, but we will do it next week. Mike Harris.
Yeah, I agree with you, but give me one moment to close here, and that is you have to realize that BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street control virtually every company that's listed on the public exchanges, domestically and many that are foreign. They have a 5%, 10% interest on them. they've got their thumb in every pie, and
that's
they're
why
the
Russia
ones.
needs to tear up every BlackRock contract in Ukraine.
No, but let me finish. But that's why they have so much control over Target, over Budweiser, over all these companies. You say, what are they doing? They're acting against their best interest. They're killing their sales. They're killing their profitability.
Yeah.
Because they're being told to, because a BlackRock tells them, and they hire the CEO, they hire the CFO, they have the chief operating officer. They have control over all that, and they get their puppets in.
Is it economic suicide, or is it economic suicide or economic treason against the United States?
It's treason. Treason at the highest level, economic treason. And they're using Soviet Bolshevik methods.
Yeah.
Are using the free market capital system to accomplish it. But that's another discussion.
Mike Harris,
stop putting me on.
Always wonderful to have you on. Thank you very much. We'll pick it up next week in that discussion. If you have any comments or questions, go ahead and email us at globalfreedomtv.com. And if you want the Indian black salve for cancer, we put up some new instructions for how to use it. Go to the website, Global Freedom TV, and it'll be on the Rumble channel too, or patreon.com.
And by the way,
how to use the Indian black salve in destroying cancer. Destroy-cancer.com. Mike, you wanted to say something?
Sorry to interrupt, but I do read the comments that people put up on the Rumble page. I read them, and thank you, folks. Keep them coming. I do appreciate them. Thank you.
Very good. We will see you next week. God bless you. Good night.
Thank you.